Welcome to the Israel Daily News Podcast. I'm your host, Shanna Fold, and I'm here to get you caught up quickly. I've got some top news stories for you today from Israel, and guess what? You're listening, so you're already on top of your game. Survive and thrive, people. Knowledge is the best weapon. Today is Monday, June 8th, 2026 in the Gregorian calendar and the 23rd of Sivan, 5786 in the Hebrew calendar. Now, let's get to the news. I landed back in Israel this morning after a week in New York, expecting a quiet return home. Instead, I dragged my luggage up two flights of stairs to my Tel Aviv apartment just as air raid sirens began to sound across the country. Overnight, Iran launched multiple waves of ballistic missiles toward Israel in a serious violation of the April 8th ceasefire and its first direct Iranian attack in 2 months. Just about a dozen missiles were fired toward Israel, and this came after Israel struck Hezbollah targets in Beirut's Dahiya district. The IDF says the missiles were intercepted or landed in open areas, though two people were injured while running to shelters here in Israel. Israel quickly retaliated with strikes on military targets inside Iran. President Donald Trump publicly urged both sides to stand down, that being Iran and Israel. There was a missile barrage that took place while I was on the plane coming back to Israel from New York. So that was late night Sunday. And then I personally had to enter and re-enter the shelter this morning. So that's early Monday morning, three times between about 5:30 a.m. and 9:45 a.m. Yemen's Houthi rebels have also launched missiles toward Israel, and that was one of those three times that we all went into the shelter this morning. And like I said, there was an Iranian attack in the evening Sunday. I was on a plane, and we all learned about the attacks right as we were getting toward landing or right as we landed. Some people got the news, and even the pilot shared about this on the plane. And that was one of the times, like I said, with the Houthi missiles, that was one of those three times in the morning. So people did not know this morning whether it was Hezbollah, whether it was Yemen, whether it was Iran. And that can be difficult because Israelis understand, depending on which country the missiles are coming from, we have a different amount of time to get into the shelter, of course, because each country is a different distance from Israel. So welcome home to me. I came home, and as the alert was sounding, I was asking a neighbor, where is the missile coming from? Because I was trying to find out if I had time to put my luggage in my apartment or not. If it was from Hezbollah, I had to really leave everything. So I did. I dropped what I could, but she couldn't tell me where the missile was coming from. I didn't know where the missile was coming from. So I just left everything, and I ran into the shelter. That was my welcome this morning. I'm going to share a bit about the Jerusalem Post conference later in the show. And now I'm going to give some updates about the situation and the security news from Israel. And then I'll tell you a little bit more about what happened last week and why we weren't on the air last week. Iran launched several waves of ballistic missiles at Israel Sunday night in what appears to be the most serious breakdown of the April 8th ceasefire so far. The attack came just hours after Israel struck Hezbollah targets in Beirut's Dahiya district, despite repeated Iranian warnings that any strike on the Lebanese capital would trigger a retaliation. Israeli officials say around 10 missiles were fired toward northern Israel, the Sharon region, and Samaria. The IDF says that the missiles were intercepted or landed in open areas, like we said, but Israel did respond within hours. And like we said, President Trump says that he's trying to cool tensions. He planned to call Prime Minister Netanyahu and was urging both sides not to fire. So far, it has been quiet in the last several hours, but Iran and Israel were exchanging fire up until recently, like early midday today. And Yemen's Houthis also launched another missile toward Israel, and they also threatened Red Sea shipping routes. Now, we have issues on a lot of different fronts. We have the Red Sea issue. We have the Strait of Hormuz. So these countries are using their waterways as bargaining chips to try to get what they want in these deals. The fighting in southern Lebanon is not slowing down despite ongoing ceasefire talks. Captain Shahar Gamla, 23, of the Egoz unit, died on Saturday, just days ago, from wounds he suffered in a Hezbollah drone strike. While Sergeant Ohad Ya'ari, 21 years old, of the Givati Brigade, was killed the day earlier in what the IDF believes was an accidental shooting. In response, the military struck Hezbollah targets across southern Lebanon, including weapons depots, command centers, and rocket launch sites. Meanwhile, diplomats are trying to salvage a broader agreement. Lebanon's President Joseph Aoun accused Iran of using Lebanon as a bargaining chip, while a new U.S.-backed proposal would require Hezbollah to pull back from the border and allow the Lebanese army to move in. Hezbollah has already rejected the proposal, insisting Israel must fully withdraw first. So we have both sides here saying, I want you to leave. The other side saying, I want you to leave. Israel feeling that the Lebanese army, not Hezbollah, which is a terror organization operating from south of Beirut and controlling the south of Lebanon, in Lebanon, Hezbollah has taken over this area, and Lebanon's army, like the actual country's army, not this terror stronghold, Lebanon's army has not been able to eject Hezbollah from within its borders, okay? So this has been a major issue, and we're seeing more and more response from the Lebanese army saying that they're going to remove Hezbollah, they're going to do something. We're seeing more discussions between Lebanese officials and Israeli officials, which is unprecedented. And so Hezbollah is saying that Israel must remove itself, and Israel is saying Hezbollah must remove itself. And Israel won't remove itself because it doesn't really rely on or trust the Lebanese army to prevent Hezbollah from firing down into Israel. You see, because Lebanon is to the north of Israel, and so the Hezbollah terrorists can shoot and fire into Israel from above. So, of course, the IDF does not want to fully evacuate until they feel that Israeli residents are safe. A terror attack Sunday morning left one man dead and five others wounded in Israel's Sharon region. The attack began near Kohav Yair and moved through several communities, sounding out infiltration alerts and sending residents into shelters. Police killed one suspect, identified as 21-year-old Omar Yassin from Taibe, and later arrested a second suspect who allegedly tried to attack officers with a glass bottle. Security forces launched a manhunt and put on restrictions for nearby Palestinian villages as they searched for any other suspects who might have been part of this attack. A nearby Magen David Adom emergency drill was suspended so that ambulances and medics could rush to the real-life scene. A 35-year-old man was pronounced dead, while two victims were seriously wounded and three others suffered from moderate injuries. We here at the Israel Daily News send our condolences to the victims' family, friends, community, and loved ones. The Israel Daily News now has its own direct donation platform. After losing dozens of supporters last year in Spotify's takeover of Anchor FM, which was our distribution site, listeners were taken, you know, people who had been supporting me for years were removed automatically in this sweeping change. Listeners can now contribute monthly or make one-time donations directly through our website. We're not relying on an outside platform. Support helps keep our independent journalism alive and growing. We answer to no one. We do what we think is right. We don't have big bosses telling us what to say, what to share, what to report on. And that's why we're so independent. That's why people love the Israel Daily News. And I'm on the ground. I'm not a correspondent that flies in for 3 days during the action. I'm not being placed in the West Bank or Judea and Samaria for a couple of days. I'm here. It's a holistic approach. I'm going to different communities. I'm in the north. I'm in the south. I'm at the Gaza envelope. So support independent journalism. Go to our website, israeldailynews.org. And you can also follow Israel Daily News across our social media platforms on Instagram, TikTok, X, and LinkedIn. at israeldaily.news or Israel Podcast on X. Yes, that's us. We're Israel Podcast on X. Now I'd like to take you briefly back to New York to talk a little bit about where I was last week. I was off the air for a week. The Jerusalem Post conference opened Sunday evening with a gala at the Eden Gallery on Fifth Avenue. The space was packed with vibrant Israeli artwork, and guests from across the Jewish world were able to come together with Israelis to get a sense of purpose. And this has become a familiar experience between Israel and diaspora gatherings since October 7th. One of the evening's most moving speakers was Nova Festival survivor Mayan Di. She spoke emotionally about her friend Sivan, who was murdered on October 7th. According to Di, Sivan always carried salt and pepper packets with her to improve any meal, and she referred to those packets as joy and happiness for salt and pepper. Today, her memory is being carried forward through these little packets, bearing her image on them. And Sivan, we were able to really appreciate her and think about her at this art gallery evening. And Mayan gave me those packets. I'm carrying them around with me in my purse. And while I was standing next to the riser, preparing to transition between speakers, I found myself pretty emotional. I suppose I brought that intensity with me when I got up on stage and thanked Mayan Di and brought on our next and impressive speaker, who talked about continuing her father's legacy by making Jewish education affordable for American Jewish families. Another impressive woman. Now, after the event wrapped, I received an email from a guest who said that my reaction to Mayan Di's speech about her friend Sivan, who she lost at the festival, had made the moment even more powerful because she said it felt genuine. As someone who spends a great deal of time hosting events and really carrying the energy of a room, it meant a lot to know that my authenticity resonated. And the following day was a marathon of programming. I mean, there were panels, TED-style talks, one-on-one interviews, and even live musical performances, which we had during lunch. That was a highlight. One highlight came during the closing reception, where actor Michael Rapaport unveiled a new Israeli tourism initiative called I Am Israel, a campaign designed to showcase aspects of the country that travelers often miss. The New York Jerusalem Post conference brought together senior Israeli and American officials, including Israel's UN ambassador Danny Danon, former UN ambassador Gilad Erdan, Consul General Ofir Akunis, World Jewish Congress President Ronald Lauder, who spoke about how important public relations is for Israel. I mean, he talked about this for a long time. He said that every country around the world has a public relations department and has a department that is ready to fire back when media outlets, he referenced the New York Times, spreads lies about countries. And he said that Israel is just not doing enough to combat the lies. That, and a lot of people resonated with that. As well as we hosted former Justice Minister Ayelet Shaked. Now, these are just some names of the impressive individuals and speakers who I had the honor of introducing and bringing on and off stage, shaking hands, making sure that the conference moves forward with energy. It's something that I really, really think is important, because sometimes you go to a conference and it's very dull, it's very boring, there's no energy, it's in a dark room. So this was lively. The conference covered everything from Iran, Hezbollah, Israel's security challenges, anti-Semitism on campus, Aliyah, healthcare innovation, business investment, post-war economic recovery. We talked about drones. We talked about the future of warfare and why the war between Russia and Ukraine is dragging on and why the war in Israel is dragging on. And a lot of it is because of the technology and being able to send missiles and send drones abroad instead of having to really do that man-to-man combat the way that war looked like years and years ago. As both the CEO of Israel Daily News and the face of all Jerusalem Post conferences, I'm feeling proud that I've been able to use my skills and education in broadcast journalism for such an event that I felt was glamorous and also full of seriously important and high quality content. And our moderators for the panels and the one-on-one sessions are top tier journalists from the Jerusalem Post group, which includes the Jerusalem Post, but also our Hebrew sister publications like Wala and Ma'ariv, which is so important to have Hebrew language reporters that are in the United States that are bringing what's going on in the name of Israel, you know, in the White House, in the Capitol, to be able to bring that not only to American audiences, but back here to Israel. It's just so incredibly important. And I always say this, and I will stand by this. Democracy is upheld by journalism. And I will stand by that, and I will die on that. And one quiet moment stood out for me toward the end of Monday when Jerusalem Post owner Elia Zor looked at me and simply said in Hebrew, "You're excellent." Well, they were just two words, but coming from someone who is sort of quiet and modest and doesn't really share a lot, that meant so much. Thank you to Tara Mafar and our sponsor, Marianne Vollinger, for helping me get glam for the events, styling me and making sure that I was on stage looking right for the role. Thank you to everyone. And thank you to those of you who came to the conference and those of you who sent emails about what a great day it was. You can watch all of our videos from the live stream, from the clips. There's a lot of marketing and media that came out from this event on the Jerusalem Post website. So you'll be able to see that. If you didn't see it live and in person, it's all there on the JPost website. I'll also write about it for IsraelDailyNews.org. That'll be up soon. All right. Well, that is it for today's show. Don't forget to sign up to our Israel Weekly News Wrap. The Israel Weekly News Wrap is a newsletter with the top five stories coming out of Israel from throughout the week. And of course, with a personal note from me at the top, you can sign up for that at IsraelDailyNews.org. Scroll down to the bottom and drop your email address in. A big thank you goes out to our sponsor, Marianne Vollinger, our writer, Perry Schwartz, our associate producer, Lori May. And we have three interns this summer. Yes, they were here this morning for the rocket attacks. I spoke with them. They are all doing well, and we're going to be meeting tomorrow. So the interns continue their great work for the Israel Daily News. It's an internship program we've been running for more than 5 years now, training young people on how to write for both broadcast and for print. Have a great and productive day and an excellent week. Shavua Tov, everyone. Stay strong. I'm Yisrael Chai. The people of Israel live on.